feared God and eschewed evil. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Big family. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job, notice that little word right there, continually, as constantly, didn't quit. You can be seated. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we have a privilege to open the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we find comfort and strength and courage out of its pages. Thank you, Lord, that the times that we were down, it lifted us up. At the times we got too high in pride, it cut us down. Lord, when we was in need of comfort, it gave us comfort. When we was needing strength, it's given us strength. When we needed courage, it's give us courage. When we needed hope, it's give us hope. And on we could talk about what the Word of God has done for us. But I pray now, God, you'd do another work of your touch today upon our hearts and strengthen and encourage that that's discouraged. Strengthen that that's weak. And Lord, challenge that that needs some challenge. Lord, bless that, and it can be blessed today. And we'll thank you for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Job is a strange character. God put him in the Word of God to let us see this morning what we could do if we trusted God. I don't know if you took everything I've got and destroyed my children and took everything I had and even my health. I don't know as I could do as Job. I'd like to think that I could. And I know by the grace of God I could. But I don't know where I'd have went as far as Job did or not. I'd like to think I did. And you probably can put yourself in the same shoes. You don't know what you'd do. Most of us don't know what we're going to do. We handle different problems. Someone goes this way and some go that way. But Job stayed with it. I think I mentioned this last week. I was in the church when I first started preaching. And in that church we had 17 different preachers. I was one of them. Always preaching going on. And all of us thought we knew more than the pastor did. And you can have a problem. But I look back now, many years past. That's been back a little while. A few years has happened. Been a lot of water run under the bridge. A lot of things have went up and down and changed. And out of those 17 preachers, I watched God bury some of them at a young age because they messed up and some of them didn't answer the call like they should and God took them out early. I seen some just plain quit and get out and go their own way. And today, very few of them are even living. And not many of them ever survived and stayed with the preaching. I've seen churches. In 51 years, I've watched a lot of churches come on, get on fire. And glory seemed to glow over the top of them. And today, you can't even find the doors open. They're shut and closed down, sold out. Or the buildings have been demolished. I've seen church folks that come to church and stayed on the pew for a while. Got upset, got disturbed, didn't like something somebody said. By the way, every time I preach, I usually stir up somebody. I'm not up here to stir you today. I'm here to preach to you. Old preacher gets up and you know what happens? You throw a rock down a tin can alley, don't you? You throw a rock to quieten the dogs and, I mean, you know, cause a stir up something. And you throw it down there and you hear boom, 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 boom. And nothing makes a racket or nothing except the rock. You throw another rock. And after a while, when you throw another rock, it hits something. And after a while, it'll hit an old dog and he'll go, arr, arr, arr. And that's what I'm doing. I'm a shooting the gospel down a tin can alley. And I hope I hit you, but don't mean to hurt you, just to wake you up. Word of God will wake you up. The Bible said here's a man by the name of Job. With our churches shut down, preachers quitting, and individuals got out of the business and doing something else and not even fooling with the house of God anymore. Here's a man that remained faithful. You remember I said a while ago, read that word continually. He stayed with God. He didn't jump ship. He didn't get out. The Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. That don't mean he was sinless. That's not a sinless perfection state, as some might teach. But he was mature. He was well-versed. He was well-trained in the Scriptures. And that's the only way that Job could stand, is to be perfect in the Word of God. His doctrines was perfect. His Word was perfect. And it said perfect and upright. That means he lived right. Amen. Yeah, you can't live right sitting on a church pew shouting amen, hallelujah, and waving your hands and getting drunk on Monday and Tuesday. And be down on the dance floor on Wednesday and Thursday. And gambling on Friday and Saturday and come back to church and shout again. That won't work. He was upright. Upright. You know what upright is? Upright. Pretty simple. He walked right. He talked right. He lived right. He looked right. Amen. He didn't steal from his neighbor. He didn't talk about his neighbor. Amen. Now, it's getting quiet in here. This is not a funeral. This is not the mortuary. Amen. I'm not in the business of embalming. I'm in the business of preaching the truth. Now listen to me. And you know, anybody gets upset, the preacher preaching, there's something wrong with them. Something wrong with your spirituality. I've never had a preacher preach hard enough yet to ever scare me. Sure did humble me though. Put me on my knees in the floor. Made me cry and weep. And get right with God. But I've never got mad at a preacher for preaching the truth. Amen. Don't intend to. And so it said he was perfect and upright. And one that feared God. We don't have many of those today. And it said, and eschewed evil. What's that word eschewed mean? It means he hated sin. He means he despised sin. He was uncomfortable around those who denied God. He was uncomfortable around those who told those dirty jokes. He didn't laugh at their dirty jokes. He tried to avoid them. He was a special character, and God blessed him. Now, you know, I'd like to get up here this morning and preach to you that if you're saved and you live right, you'll never have no problems. There are some people that do that. I mean, there's preachers that preach that stuff. But I don't know anybody in this building that's never had... Is there anybody in this building that's never had a problem? If you have, raise your hand and I've got a name for you. It's called liar. You'll have problems. The Bible said man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You're going to have trouble. And that ain't got nothing to do with the women either, by the way. That just means you ain't been born of a man. And that's another subject we're not going to get into right now. Amen. So I want to say that he eschewed evil. He hated sin. He despised sin. And he had problems.
It would look like if anybody in the world was exempt from problems, it would be Job. He lived right. He talked right. He sung right. He shouted right. He walked right. He lived right. I believe he is a good husband. Amen. One, two, or three of you believe it. I believe he's a good man. And we come on. And he tried to do right. And then all of a sudden, it tells about he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 children. It talks about all his substance and what he had. And he was a very popular man. He was a very rich man, if you will, and that thing. But Satan had a pitfall for him. And he went before God and said, I'll tell you what. If you'll just let me have Job, I'll show you how good a man he is. I'll show you he's not what you think he is. Now when God says something, listen to me. When I read verse number 1, this is not the president speaking. When I read verse number 1, it's not the governor of the land speaking. It's not even his wife or his children. It's not even Job speaking. It's God speaking. It said there was a man. And it's God saying that he eschewed evil, feared God, and walked upright. I don't believe God say that about somebody and lie about it. God knows you more than I know you and more you know you. And so I'll tell you now, I might have my assessment of you and be wrong. The Bible says that we can only see the outward appearance, but God knows the inward. And God knew that Job was right. And so he said, if you just take the hedge off of him, I'll show you he's not what you... So, verse number 14, they got his oxen. And went on down through and got everything. And we read on and find out that God took all his children, or the devil took them all. By the way, let me tell you this. Somebody said it had to be the devil. Amen. The devil instigated it. But the devil can't do no more than what God will allow him to do. Amen. So God's in this thing too, but he don't bring it on us. He lets the devil do it. Death is an enemy. And the Bible said the last enemy to be defeated is, the last enemy to be defeated is death. And brother, God's going to bring forth that. And I'll tell you this, but here's what I'm getting at. Job lost everything he had. So the devil has another little conversation to him. He said, if I can just take his, I'll prove to you. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you have everything Job's got, which you've done took part of it. And I'll let you have Job's health. But there's one thing you're not going to touch, and that's his soul. I'm glad the devil can't touch my soul or yours. And so Job started getting boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot, took potsherd or pottery and scraped himself, and he was in agony. Now, I don't know how I'd act and what you'd do. I don't know what you'd do either. If you lost everything you got. I mean everything. Job had nothing. Didn't even have no health. And he's sitting there. He's a miserable wretch now. He served God, but he's a miserable wretch. And the Bible goes on to say, in all that Job went through, he didn't curse God. His wife did, in a sense, said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, no, I ain't going to do it. And we all see this morning that as we look at this, his friends even come, had those friends. How about your friends? Can you imagine getting in the shape that Job got in and all your friends that you had? You got 5 friends. Amen. I hope you got more. But you got 5 friends. You know what they do? They come and just sit down and look at him. Look at him a little while, a few days. Just look at him. And then they start raising their voice to him and telling him, well, Job, if you'd done this, you'd been all right. If you'd done that, you'd been all right. And they start telling him what's wrong with him. And I'm sure that Job listened to some of that. And I'm wondering, he brought forth some things. But at the end, the Bible said, if you'll read, well, let's just turn over there, please. Turn to the 42nd chapter of the book of Job. It's the last chapter of the book of Job.
And let's look at the last two verses. The Bible said after this lived Job 140 years. He lived 140 years after all this trouble. And saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Had a good life. God restored to him everything in double. Gave him another set of seven sons and three daughters. Amen. Which made him 14 sons and six daughters. Even though part of them had done gone to glory first. Understand that? He doubled everything. He was doubled at the end more than he had to start with. And I'm going to say it pays to serve God. It pays to live for God. In this modern day, we've got COVID. In this modern day, we've got all kinds of political problems. In this modern day, they're trying to take away the freedom that we have in worshiping God. Turn us toward a socialistic nation. And I've seen all this happen in my day. But I would to God that I could be like a Job. And seeing not. I looked at some characters in the Word of God. That was a man by the name of Noah. Y'all heard of Noah, hadn't you? Noah, the Bible said, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a good man. And he followed God. God told him, said, can you just imagine? Woke him up in the middle of the night. One night, I guess he did. It just told him. He got this, this thought from God. God gave it to him. He said, I want you to build me an ark. Noah, I want you to build me a boat. Can you see Noah saying, what's a boat? Now, I'm sure they probably know what boats were because there was water on the earth. But yes, it never rained. Never rained. Never rained. God said, Noah, I'm going to send a rain to destroy the earth. When I send the rain, I want you to have an ark. Okay, I want it built this long, this high, this tall, this wide. I want it built out of this kind of lumber, built this way. When I get through, I want you to pitch it within without the tar or the pitch. And Noah said, rain? What's rain? And for 120 years, he's building an ark and preaching righteousness. You with me? The community's life and it is kids. That's the old shipmaker. That's the old ark builder. Amen. He said it's going to rain. For 120 years he preached and preached and preached. It's coming to rain. Get ready. It's going to come a flood. Get ready. Nobody paid no attention to him. Did they? But his three sons and three daughter-in-laws, his wife and himself, and he went through the flood with eight people. 120 years he preached, and that's all he won. But I'd like to be like Noah, that God could trust me for 120 years. That God could trust me for 120 years. The Bible said Abraham come along and Abraham was a friend of God. That's the name that God gave him. I didn't give it to him. The Word of God gives it to him. But through God, God said he's called the friend of God. The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You with me? He's a man of faith. He told Abraham one morning, why don't you just get up and go? He said, where am I going? He said, you're going to look for a city. And the Bible said he went out looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And as far as we know, according to the Word of God, he never found it till he got to glory. And he actually hadn't got it in fulfillment yet because he's coming back one of these days and he's talking about a land. He's an earthly people with an earthly promise. We won't get into that today. That'll open another can of worms and you'll be wondering what I'm a-thinking. And you'll get off the track. Abraham believed God, but it was accounted unto him, I'd like to be like Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham looking at Sarah saying, pack it up, honey, we're going. Where are we going? I don't know, but we're going. Now, how many of you ladies are like that? Your husband says, get to packing, we're leaving. Where are we leaving to? I don't know, but we're going that way. I'll tell you when we get there. You'd say, crazy husband. But he went. He got in the hall of faith. What about all of them down through the years? What about Elijah? He was a man of faith. God told him what to do and he done it. I'd like to be like them, wouldn't you? I really would. I look at it on the other side of the track. I find men like Daniel. I find men like the three Hebrew children. They said to them boys, now I'm talking about, we're living in a day just like that. Nothing's changed. The fear of God and the fear of the world and the fear of the flesh and the fear of the devil's all around us. I've never seen so many people in all their life that are fearful. We've come to play, and the devil has taught us to be fearful. God don't teach us that, but we've let the devil do it. So guess what's happened? We find the Hebrew children over there, and Daniel says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He carried them into captivity, and they told them Hebrew boys, said, now, we're going to feed you pulse. We're going to feed you this stuff, and you can't eat what you used to eat over there in Israel. You're going to have to eat what the king wants. You're going to eat his meat. Daniel said, I refuse to eat it. Hebrew boys said, I refuse to eat it. Don't give us that stuff and test us. We refuse the king's meat and we're not going to drink the king's wine. Hear me? And they survived. So come on. And they got out there one day, got talking about, King, you're great. And the political world got involved. When the political world gets involved in your spiritual worship, I want you to know right now, it's trouble. When the government or anybody else tells you when you can pray and how often you can pray and what you can pray, you're in trouble. I noticed the Pope this week said he put his stamp of approval upon same-sex marriages or trying to get them all that stuff. Did y'all see that in the news? Huh? Did y'all hear that in the news? I guess it's all right if the Pope says it's okay. Not according to my Bible. You messed up some, got some mad. Got them upset. Amen. That same morning he said that day. That's what was it, Thursday? I guess it was. Wednesday or Thursday. I was listening to Lester Roloff, 7 o'clock in the morning. And Lester Roloff said, America is never going to need another sin to take it down. Homosexuality is already going to do it. And I said, amen. And then later the Pope come along with that. Now, I guess the homosexual crowd likes what he said, what the Pope says. And I got to thinking about it. You know, Roman Catholicism's against abortion. Some of them. Unless they run for office. Hear me now. If this makes you unnerved and uncomfortable, I'm sorry. Just abide by it. I won't change it. And guess what? The homosexuals is going to get one of these days where they're going to want to stop abortion too. When they multiply a little bit longer, they ain't going to have nobody to adopt. Because they can't have them.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. I ain't going to let that get
past. Amen.
Bless God. Amen. That's right. And we're seeing all this stuff go on. So one day they said, we've got an old boy back down here. He's a kind of an odd boy. He prays to his God 3 times a day. And King, we love you. We don't think he ought to be a praying nobody but you. So we want you to put out a decree that anybody prays to anybody but you, that they'll be thrown in the lion's den or the den of lions. King said, oh, that sounds good. Made up the decree. They told Daniel about it. He went down to the house. And you'd think he'd have shut the blinds, closed the window, and had a silent prayer. That's baptistic, you know. It's what Baptists do. But instead he raised the window a little taller, probably prayed a little louder, and he prayed to his God. And he come back up and said, King, he's praying to somebody besides you. And they got him and put him in the den of lions. Amen. Somebody said, what happened? Had the best night's rest he had had in a long time. Amen. Them lions got to purring. They looked at him. Somebody, one preacher said they couldn't eat him. He is all backbone. Had a good night's rest and got him out the next morning. King said, oh, Daniel. He said, oh, King, live forever. And he come out and the lions hadn't even touched him. It pays to live for God. Amen. In an adverse world and a perverse world and an ungodly world. So then they got to starting the music up, and anybody that don't bow before the King when the music plays, we'll put them in a fiery furnace. They told the 3 Hebrew children, they played the music and they just stood there. If anything, that day they got up on their tiptoes. They told him, said them 3 boys down there won't bow. So they went down there and got them. And the Bible said they brought them up there. And the King said, heated that furnace 7 times hotter than it normally want to be heated. And they took them soldiers and took them out. And the Bible even said, read this. The Bible said that the fire took the lives of them soldiers. Or the men, who were not one of the soldiers or not, but they're men. And it killed them. They threw them in the fire furnace. As soon as they got thrown in the fire furnace, the music started. Amen. And they just knew them boys would be dead. And the King got up and went down and looked in. He said, hey, what's wrong here? I see, did not we throw 3 men in here? Said, now I see 4. One of them is like unto the Son of God. They had a camp meeting. And when they went down, the King said, called them out, and they said, oh, King, live forever. Come out, and the Bible said that they didn't even have the smell of smoke. Well, you can't burn leaves in your yard without smelling like leaves for a while. Amen. Fry a hamburger and just let it get too hot on the stove. I done that a time or two. What happens? Stinks up the house. It'll get in your clothes. You think it's all right because you smell it. And your smeller's done got adjusted. But you go outside and drive around long and come back and you have some Febreze time. Amen? Amen. If you don't believe it, on your way to church, stop over at the 7-Eleven store over and get you a pack of chewing gum and you'll come out smelling that cigarette smoke in your hair. Amen. They didn't even have a smell of smoke. The only thing that's burned off of them boys was they were bound. They put them in there bound. They come out and had.
And that's what the world put on them, and what the world puts on you, that needs to be burned off anyhow. And they came out. It pays to serve God. It pays to live for God. It pays to walk for God. It pays in a day-to-day when people are looking at everything and letting every problem get a hold of them. I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven that can deliver us and can use us, can lead us, can direct us, and can bring us out. We don't have a weak-kneed God. We just got a weak knee.
That's right.
We don't have a God that's occupied with everything. It's us that's occupied.
Yeah.
Got everything else on our mind. Letting everything else bother us. I want to tell you, I'm glad I've trusted God. I reached out to Him one day. Amen. After He'd done reached out to me, I went to the house of God. I just a little young fella. But I sat on the end of the pew about where this brother's sitting. Brother, that preacher got up that morning. He opened up that old King James Bible. He started preaching. He wasn't a real forceful preacher. But boy, he opened that book and started preaching and got to telling about how people go to hell without God if they're not being saved. And he told us showed us that there was a lost condition of man, and that lost condition is going to take us to hell. I thought I was the only one in the house before he got through. I thought he was never going to shut up. And I sat there shaking all over. And I thought, just as soon as he starts the invitation, I'm saying, I'm getting out of here. But when the invitation started, I went the wrong direction. I come forward. I know something got a hold of me, and I went to the front, bowed there, and I didn't know how to pray the sinner's prayer. I was just as ignorant as anybody could be about the Word of God. And I didn't say, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I said, oh God, save me, save me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what He done. My life ain't been the same since. And you know what? I ain't got over it. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to get over it. Now, if you want to get over it, you didn't get it. I've had a desire for God ever since. You know, you don't have to teach a baby nothing hardly on the basics of life. You don't have to teach a baby when it gets old enough to lie. It'll just do it anyhow. Amen. They come home in the hospital lying. We raised three. Amen. Get them little brats, put them up on your shoulder, you pat them, you look at them, you trot them on your knees. You just love them to death. Oh, ain't they sweet? Except some people say to me, said, ain't this baby sweet? I said, yeah, but it grows up.
Yeah.
Show me little bitty kittens and little bitty puppies and there's nothing harder nor sweeter than them little things. All the first, they just cuddle up, but they grow up. Put that little brat in the bed, bassinet, went and tried to get a little rest. And just about the time you're going to drop out. Punch your wife. Get up. Something wrong with that little thing. She runs in there and looks at it and picks it up and goes, wanting attention. Lying little rascal. Nothing wrong with it. No temperature. Not hungry. Not wet. Lying. Don't have to teach them that. Comes into the world, you don't have to sit over there and take it to a seminar and say, here's what you got to do. You got to eat. It comes in the world wanting to eat. Amen. So I worry about these people that get saved and won't go to church and won't study their Bible and don't have no desire for God. It just ain't natural. I got saved, brother. Church has been in my blood ever since.
Amen.
Amen. I got to go.
Yeah.
Amen. It bothers me when I don't get to go to church.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. I soon die in church. It's the same place I know.
That's right.
Amen. I've always said maybe the Lord will let me do one or two things. I'd like to die either preaching or just go to sleep and never wake up except the glory. Probably need to get neither one of them. Amen. Been so mean, God probably suffer, make me suffer, suffer, suffer. I'm saying, Lord, be easy on this old rascal. Tried to stay with you these years, but I don't deserve anything. But I'm saying in the Word of God, I look at these. I look at Paul. Paul's one of them that he never had any emotion or animosity in his heart toward anybody to quit. He had no desire to give up, throw in the towel. I've seen so many throw in the towel. Just a little problem come. You and I think sometimes we're suffering like we never suffered. What about the saints of God that had to hide? What about them that was burned at the stake because they believed in Jesus? What about them that suffered down through the years? Some's even come through and suffered with pain and sickness all their life. What about those that's blind all their life and serve God? You understand what I'm saying? I'd like for it to be at the end of the road. Paul sitting in the jailhouse in prison, knowing it's about time to go. And he looks up to glory and he says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He said, time my departure's at hand. He said, a little earlier before he got to that point, he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have a desire to depart and get there. But I'm going to have to do what I have to do till I get there. Amen. They get to singing about heaven. And I look out the window sometimes, see if the bus has drove up yet. They get to singing about heaven there on my radio, and I just kind of say, is that a trumpet I hear in the distance? I get a hankering and a longing to go to glory. As the days go by, it's more exciting. But I want to be busy about the Lord till the end. There's so many going to hell today. So many lost people without God. A nation that's turned upside down. Don't know which way. Got grandkids and great grandkids coming. Amen. I want you to know, I want to do right. I don't want them to have to suffer. I want to do what I can to knock the devil in the head. Shoot him between the eyes. Stomp him before, amen, the rapture takes place. I want to do my part. Amen. I want to keep the gospel, both barrels open. Amen. Preach to him with a double barrel gospel gun. Glory to God. Chase him out of town. I want to ask you, do you know the Lord? If you do, how strong are you trusting Him today? Now, if you're looking for the government to straighten things out, why don't you just wake up tonight or today and find out they've done messed it all up? Politicians promise you everything and then very seldom ever come across with it. Every once in a while, you'll find one doing right. Where you find one doing right, it's about like preachers. Where you find one doing right, there'll be 10 over there's not. And brother, I'll tell you, I'm not trusting the system. I'm not trusting. I'm not even trusting the church. Because the church has got a different name now. Or a different look. The church is just an entity now that you go to. The church actually, according to the Word of God, is born again believers. Those who are saved. But you can have a church now. It don't classify itself as that. And I'm not going to get into that subject, but I'm saying to you, I'm not trusting my family. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting the organizations of the world. I'm not trusting the government. I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that's keeping me. He's the one that's going to deliver me. I read over in the Word of God, that the Bible said the Lord Himself will come. Brother Dale, he said the Lord Himself will come. The Lord Himself will bring the souls of them that have died in the Lord. The Lord Himself will bring their souls. I read in the book of Acts where it said this same Jesus that went up in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven is coming again in like manner. Not another. So I put my trust in Him a long time ago. I really don't care what takes place. Amen. In a sense, I just want to try to head it off and do what I can for the glory of God. But I just want to please Him. I'm trusting Him. He knows best. He knows better for me than I know for me. Amen. I think a few times I made a mistake or two. Some of you look at me like you, I don't know. You? Yeah, all of us. Every one of us.
That's right.
You made more mistakes than you'd like to even think about. Don't you wish you could wipe the slate clean, go back at 21 and start all over? You know what? You'd make as big a mess out of it the second time as you did the first. Amen. Now, I might change my mind if I could go back 21 knowing what I know now. Amen. You turn my flesh around to 21 and I'm going to act like a 21. I ain't growed up yet. Amen. You let me go back at the age I am now, be 21. I might make some different decisions, but I'd still mess up. I still would mess up. I might make bigger mistakes. I'm glad I got one shot at it. And I'm glad God saved me. And if you're in this building not saved, right now's the time to think about those things. You're going out of here one of these days. Age don't have nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Amen. Heads bowed. Age don't have anything to do with it. We're leaving. You're either lost or saved in this building. You're not half saved or half lost. You just think you are. You're either lost or saved. You either know the Lord or you don't know the Lord. Your father is either God or it's the devil. You're on the right side or you're on the wrong side. You're headed to heaven or you're headed to hell. You know Christ or you don't know Christ. You've had a spiritual birth and been born again, or you've never been born again and you've got a spiritual death coming. Let's stand. What's your song? 81, just as I am.